This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, the show is flying by tonight. Fourth and final hour of VSiN Prime Time. Will Hill, Matt Eumanns here. I'm at the Circus Sportsbook, downtown Vegas. We got a pretty good crowd tonight, and if they're Lakers fans, they're disappointed. Right now, the Rockets are pounding the Lakers 92-74 into the fourth quarter in that game in L.A. More importantly, in Kansas City, the Broncos are trying to avoid a major upset tonight. They went off, actually, as 14-point underdogs here at Circa, and Will Hill, Bo Nix, gets the first down on fourth and inches, and the Broncos are now inside the 10-yard line, down 10-6. Live number, Denver minus 5.5. Live total, 31.5. Broncos still $4 favorites on the money line. Will, what's your take here on the Broncos struggling so mightily with the Chiefs? And the Broncos are going to get a touchdown here to go up 12-10.
Yeah, Bo Nix is into the end zone. Yep. So anyone that had Bo Nix first touchdown score, that's a tough one because there was a touchdown before that. It's always a tough one when you take a long shot number 15-20-1 and then he gets the second one. You're just kicking yourself. But Bo Nix is into the end zone, 12-10, an extra point coming. But this has not been an impressive performance. The Chiefs have played pretty good defense. They really haven't done much on offense. They had the one drive to start the half for the field goal. They turned a short field off a turnover into a touchdown. But other than that, and you mentioned the show's going by fast. Feels like this game is going by fast. The clock is really not stopped. Right. We're sitting here 1:55 left in the third quarter. You feel pretty good if you're the Broncos, the fact that you got a lead and now you could turn it over to your defense against an inexperienced quarterback. But in terms of style points, in terms of feeling good about this team going forward, it has not been an impressive performance here for Denver, to say the least.
No, but we've said that in a lot of games this season about the Broncos, right? That game against the Jets? I believe it was in London. That's one of the ugliest games of the entire NFL season, and the Broncos were lucky to win it. Tonight, Chris Oladokun, the third-string quarterback for the Chiefs, 7 for 12, 34 yards passing. He's taken one sack. He does have a TD pass. The Chiefs have 55 yards rushing. Here's the thing, Will. Right now, the Chiefs have 80 yards of total offense, but they've been able to hang in this game with the Broncos. And I think that's why it's so difficult for a lot of bettors to truly buy in on the Broncos when Bo Nix does not light it up week after week. And some weeks, let's be honest, he looks pretty bad. And then the Broncos getting all these ugly games, and they win a lot of close games. They're 12-3, but not too far away from being a 9-6 team. Look, I'm one of the biggest Bronco backers out there, and I have been since the summer. But the way they pick up some of these wins is pretty unimpressive. And I think that's why you're going to have a lot of skeptics about this team as we roll into the playoffs. I do need the Broncos to win the AFC West. They got to get this win tonight in Kansas City to help make that happen. Of course, they have a showdown with the Chargers next week. Will, how many bets, how many NFL sides or total bets do you have in your pocket right now for this this weekend?
The Chiefs tonight have the Browns plus the points. Other than that, I believe that is it. I have to look at the board and see if anything triggers my mind. It's a tough week. A lot of these games are meaningless. And really, we were talking about this at the beginning of the show. It's very rare that you had an NFL season where there's 2 weeks to play and there's already this much decided. We pretty much know the seven NFC teams. I guess we still have to decide the South with the Bucks and the Panthers. But other than that, I mean, there's a lot of meaningless games here. And there's a lot just, seeding is to be decided in some of these divisions, but a lot of these games are tricky. So I played the Browns, I played the Chiefs, but other than that, haven't added a ton. How about you? What have you bet so far here for week 17? 2 weeks to go in the season. My goodness.
Yeah, I really regret not playing the Chiefs tonight because I was on my list and I just chickened out. So I'm going to pay for that. But I did play the Bills minus one against the Eagles. We're going to talk about that later in the hour tonight. But that's it so far. For this week in the NFL, I want to talk about the Saturday games with you here and get your take on them. The Houston Texans lead the NFL in scoring defense right now at 16.6 points a game. Texans are going to be in action against the Chargers on Saturday night in LA, actually Saturday afternoon. Chargers 1.5 for 2 point favorites, total of 39.5. Will, the Chargers have won three big games in a row. They beat the Eagles on Monday Night Football, and they went to KC, knocked out the Chiefs. And then they went to Dallas and beat the Cowboys back home here to face the Texans team that I mentioned is number one in the league in scoring defense. But the Texans don't impress you offensively. And I was with Jonathan Von Tobel and Doug Kazarian and others. We were watching games at the Westgate Sportsbook last Sunday, and we pretty much agreed we don't think the Texans are a dangerous team when they get into the postseason because of C.J. Stroud and that offense leave a lot to be desired. What's your take on the Texans-Chargers matchup on Saturday afternoon in L.A.?
Yeah, I thought the Raiders should have beat them. The Raiders, I thought, outplayed them. The problem is it's an AFC where I'm not blown away by the Patriots. We're just talking about how the Broncos aren't impressive. You know, do you really trust Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars? I mean, they've been impressive, but I don't. So I'm with you on Houston, but I think it's just such a wide open bracket where if you get in, you got a shot, and I think their defense is really good. This is a tough matchup for the Chargers just because their weakness now with their injuries on the offensive line is what used to be a strength is their offensive line, and now it's a weakness. A couple weeks ago against Philly, there was a 70% pressure rate for the Eagles, and this is a really good front for Houston. So I worry about the Chargers blocking them. I would look towards an under, but as we were talking about with this game, boy, 39.5 is just pretty low for an under in this modern NFL.
Do you have any seems like you don't have a strong opinion on the side, and I don't either. I actually kind of lean to the Chargers, but I'm not going to play that. What about you?
Great teaser leg with Houston. I think it's a pretty low variance game. I think somebody probably wins the game 20-17. So if you can tease Houston up to 8, 8.5, I think, look, any of these teaser legs could lose, but that's one where it should be a one score game. If nothing else, would lean towards the Chargers on the game. But I think just from a betting standpoint, teasing the Texans up is the best way to attack.
That's a pretty good idea to do that. And what you think is going to be a low scoring game, and the Texans defense is going to keep it tight. All right, how about the late game tomorrow? Ravens-Packers in Green Bay, number 4.5, total of 40. It's Saturday night. Packers, 4.5-point home favorites. Quarterback situation for both teams is a little bit unsettled. You read some reports this week that the Ravens and Lamar Jackson seem to be having a falling out. Every week it seems like this guy is injured or sick, or he just doesn't have the desire to get out there and play. And then you have the Jordan Love issue with the Packers on the other side. How do you handicap the Ravens-Packers game, Will?
Feels like it's just not the Ravens' year. I would look towards the Packers. I would certainly want Jordan Love to play, so that would prevent me from making a bet. If it was Willis versus Tyler Huntley, which I do think it's going to be Huntley for the Ravens side, to me that's an under because those are two quarterbacks. That's almost like a service academy game. They're just going to run the ball, run the clock. That 40, 40.5, that clock is going to fly by. That total's low. So I think this number is a little bit in between. If you see Love, that'll certainly tick up a few points. But if it's Love, I like the Packers. If it's Willis, I like the under. But Willis, remember, Willis has a shoulder injury too. So both quarterbacks, there's some uncertainty there. So it's very hard to bet a game when you don't know who's playing quarterback really for either side, although we get the sense it's probably Huntley. But it'd be Packers or nothing. It just gets, I get the sense it's just not Baltimore's year. They were able to fight back from 1-5, but like you said, Lamar, he's always hurt. He's always missing practice. It seems like they might be ready to move on from John Harbaugh. Just seems like it's not their year, and Packers probably put them out of their misery Saturday night.
You talk about a Ravens team that was power rated by a lot of us, number one in the NFL in the first month of the season. And now we're talking about tear it down and start over. I mean, when you're that close to being a Super Bowl team, should you really tear it down and start over? I mean, it takes a lot to get back to that level, but it does seem like that the relationship is frayed with Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, and the Ravens. We'll see how they respond on Saturday night in Green Bay in that game. I agree with you, it's a tough one to handicap, but if you lean under, 40.5 is the total out there is a few books, and 41 is a key number in totals. I would wait to see if you could play under 41. This total has already dropped, by the way. And I do not see a 41 out there anyway, but you might see anywhere. You might see one by Saturday at some point if you're going to play that game. Will, how about Monday night, Rams-Falcons? Matthew Stafford had a 4-yard lead over Dak Prescott for the NFL passing yardage on the NFL passing yard chart going into today. Prescott passed for over 300. I don't know if that's why Dak is determined to play here in the last couple weeks. He's talking about how he's not going to sit. The Rams, very unfortunate situation here. This is a team that a lot of us feel like is the best in the NFC, but they've lost their grip on the number one seed. And where do the Rams go here in the final 2 weeks? They're on the road in Atlanta on Monday night, 7.5 or 8-point favorites, total of 49.5. What's your quick take on that matchup?
Would lean towards the home dog. Don't know if I have the the guts to actually pull the trigger and take it. I mean, if you told me, you were just talking about the Texans, how that's a good teaser. Like, if you told me you tease the Rams down from 8-2 and you're pretty confident they're going to win the game, I couldn't argue with that as a play. I lean towards the dog, but nothing more than a lean at this moment.
Do you think there's, if the Seahawks win, I mean, there's a scenario here where Sean McVay might have an option to rest starters, or to maybe rest Matthew Stafford. I don't think that's going to happen Monday night, but it could happen in the final week. Is the MVP, would that alter the MVP market the way these games turn out this weekend? I know Doug Kazarian loves Matthew Stafford to win the MVP. Is there a chance here where the Rams could be playing a game in the final week that means nothing and that Stafford might sit? Or do you think McVay would play him to try to clinch the MVP?
I think he'd play him for one game, too. Plus, I don't think you'd want your team sitting for 2 weeks.
No, no way.
Because let's just say this game doesn't mean anything. Next week doesn't mean anything. You don't want to sit there and go like 21 days between meaningful games, even more since, you know, last game was on a Thursday. So if he missed 2 games, it would probably be held against him. But I have a hard time seeing McVay holding him out for 2 games.
All right, quick update here on what's happening in Denver in Kansas City. When we come back, Denver has a 13-10 lead, and we're about to start the fourth quarter. Broncos 6.5-point favorites. Total is 32.5. This money line seems high on the Broncos right now, -920. I know the Chiefs' offense is having problems moving the ball, but Broncos are going to be lucky to get away with a win tonight in Kansas City the way it looks right now. All right, quick break. We come back, we'll talk college football, bowls, playoffs, Will Hill, Matt Youmans here on VSIN Primetime, back in a couple.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Big Randy McKay joins us in studio here in the final hour of VSiN Primetime. Professional gambler, originally from North Dakota, now living down in Bullhead City, Arizona. And Big Randy, you're up here in Vegas all the time. Great to see you tonight. And you just hit your biggest jackpot ever. Is that right? You hit the Powerball.
No, I'm not from Arkansas, so I didn't get the Powerball. Uh-huh. But, that's my biggest slot jackpot. I've had a bigger video pokers before, but that was my biggest ever one on the slots. So that was pretty exciting.
We got the video of it here, Randy McKay's slot hit, and this was last night, right?
Yesterday. Walking through the casino with the fountains that have the bad pipes. I walked through there and decided to check some machines. And a lot of people actually at that place. They really promote Christmas. But it was kind of busy. Other places haven't been so busy. That place was busy.
You hit that for $53,000?
Yeah.
What's the biggest video poker hit you've had?
I've had one hit for $100,000. And it wasn't even a royal. I was on a multiplier type machine. And the best thing to hit was four deuces with an ace. And that was also on the strip at the Encore when they first opened.
How many years have you been at this, playing slots and video poker? I'm going to say close to 30.
Yeah, very good guess. And November was my 28th year anniversary. So, I've been at it a pretty long time. And it's been a fun, exciting ride. Been some ups and downs, and mostly ups and but you have some downs. I mean, you take some bad beats in these contests or, you know, games and that kind of thing. And, you know, you struggle to hit. Sometimes you don't hit jackpots, too. So,
yeah, sometimes you will go. People love to talk about the wins and highlight the wins. Same as sports handicapping. A lot of people like to shout from the highest mountaintop when they win. And then when they lose, they like to sweep the losers under the rug and not talk about it. What's the longest dry spell you've had in terms of slots, video poker? Have you gone 3 months without hitting anything?
Like a normal royal cycle is like, about 40,000 hands. I've gone over 400. So that's 10 Royal cycles, which can really kick back on you pretty hard. Or even a four of a kind cycle. I had one time many years ago, I was supposed to win $100 on with this coupon at Silverton. And it took me close to 7 hours to hit a four of a kind and minus 2,500.
Really? All right, Randy McCabe's in the Circuit Friday Football Invitational. You got eliminated. You finished in the 18th. You've had better finishes in this contest previous years. But today, you're a happy man here on Christmas because you played the underdogs. You played all three dogs today?
Yeah, and also thank you to yourself and Derek and all the everybody that's involved with the Circa Invitational for inviting me in it. And hopefully I don't get relegated to Average Joe next year, and I'll give her a go again this year. Yeah, I said on my podcast, I said, this is an ugly day for dogs, but I remember Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was really good for dogs, and I had them all. I bet them all at post. And today I kind of did the same thing because they're all overinflated. And, you know, the favorites came in, or public came pretty hard in on these favorites when they hear third-string quarterbacks and move the line up where they shouldn't be. And there's some value on these underdogs.
And these third-string quarterbacks are not playing well. But all three dogs are going to cover. Commanders getting 8.5. They lost by 7, 30-23 to the Cowboys. Vikings catching 7.5. Beat the Lions 23-10. Behind Max Brosmer, not really.
No.
Behind the Vikings defense. The Vikings passing game netted 3 yards. And Denver right now up 13-10 on the Chiefs into the fourth quarter. And the Chiefs are going to get a punt return out there midfield. And Kansas City is in business here. Broncos are going to be life and death to escape this game tonight. And they close 14-point favorites here at Circa. That number ticked up right before kickoff. Yeah, so you're a Vikings fan. Did you bet the Vikings on the money line today?
I did not. No? I didn't have that much faith. Probably should have. But hopefully that's the last of Max Brosmer, or whatever his name is, that I see in a Viking uniform. Yeah. I don't see any, you know, pocket awareness or, you know, you could tell he was kind of coached not to make a turnover. Was really nervous to even, you know, even push the ball downfield to his receivers. So, yeah, that's the last. You know, whatever happened to these veterans? What happened to Tannehill and some of these other guys that they could, even that they had Hill a couple years ago, at least he would try to push the ball downfield. You know, what happened to these guys? I could see the Vikings maybe in the offseason, you know, getting a veteran guy, maybe a Joe Flacco, or they decide to make a move for Mac Jones. Of course, a lot of people are going to be trying to do that.
Well, I said this during the preseason. I can't believe Max Brosmer is even in the NFL. I watched him in college. I said, what's he doing on the Vikings depth chart in the preseason? He can't play. And now he's starting on Christmas Day, and he's started a couple times, and it's obvious he does not belong in the league. But the Vikings get the win, 23-10 over the Lions, and knock them out of playoff contention today. Randy, we got some NFL plays we're going to talk about here for you. This week, you're going to be 3-0 here on Christmas Day, and you're going to play the Browns on Sunday. But you got a better number, and I knew you had the better number on this game when I saw it on your list. Browns right now are 3-point home dogs to the Steelers, but you got 4.5 on this game, didn't you?
Yeah, and I'm still going to recommend a play at +3 here for quite a few reasons. And when these all line up, a person should even take this. The worst number. I mean, Billy Walters used to take worse numbers just so he get more money down. So I even recommend this game at +3 because this is the Browns Super Bowl. Every year they give the Steelers fits at home in this type of situation, even though they're out of it. They've been out of it for a long time. Plus their defense plays a lot better at home. You know, they're going for the Myles Garrett record. So that's going to be in play. And this week is a situational week with the playoff scenarios. If Green Bay wins, like I predict they're going to win, that game means nothing to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin even said in the media, I believe, at least that's what I've heard, that he plans to rest people, you know, maybe not play the whole game, and we might see Rudolph and company in there instead of Rodgers and the starters.
Yeah, I like the Browns here, too. The lack of a running attack is going to be a problem. Quinshon Judkins is out for the Browns. And you're going to put your money in the hands of Shedeur Sanders in this one. But I think the all the things you talked about there are reasons to play the Browns against the Steelers.
And I had them last week against the Bills, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't see the Bills being a Super Bowl contender. You know, people are talking up the Bills, but that defense of the Bills just can't be trusted. And on the other side of the ledger, this 49ers team with their defense without Bosa and the good middle linebacker, that can't be trusted either, in my opinion. They're too low of rated defenses to win in the playoffs, in my opinion.
Browns have won 5 of their last 6 home games against the Steelers, 1 and covered the last 3 at home against Pittsburgh. You know, the Colts got some ugly trends against the Jaguars. Nope. I'm going to say 3-17-1 ATS. Mm-hmm. In the last 21 since 2015, that's what it was, 3-17-1. Phillip Rivers looked pretty good on Monday night. Colts trying to stop a skid here and stay alive. Do you like the Colts as 6-point dogs, 6.5-point dogs to the Jaguars?
Yeah, and of course I might let this go up a tick. Mm-hmm. I haven't fully invested in it because I think this line is overinflated off the big Super Bowl win that Jacksonville had last week against Denver.
Sure. You know? You think this number is going to hit 7? Because I would like 7 with the Colts, too.
Yeah, I definitely think it'll hit 7 by post. And, you know, you might want to invest a little now and then more when it gets to 7. But definitely around here, I think we'll get a plus 7. And, you know, this is still a game that matters for the Colts. It might not matter as much if Houston does pull the upset. But I see them giving a way better effort. You know, fear creates value in the NFL, and I see this being, you know, way overinflated road favorite here in this for this Jacksonville team.
Fear creates value. That's a good line. And the fear of betting on a third-string quarterback created value on 3 dogs here today, and Randy McKay played all 3. You like the Packers in the game on Saturday night?
Yeah, I was actually upstairs kind of watching the games, and then the notice came across, and I was able to find some cheap money line on the Packers, like 180. Now it's up to like 240, so I got that, and I got some 2.5 that I bet earlier in the week, so I got some good positions on that game as well.
Randy McKay on the Packers, on the Colts, and on the Browns. So far on 3-0 on Christmas. We're going to talk college football playoffs with you after a quick break. Will Hill is going to rejoin the show. Right now, the Chiefs are facing a 3rd-and-9, and they're going to come up short here. It's going to be about 3rd-and-7 from the 32-yard line and probably going to punt with 8.5 minutes to go. Broncos up 13-10. Randy McKay, Will Hill, we'll be back here in a couple minutes on VSIM Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, welcome back. Randy McKay, big Randy McKay, professional gambler in studio. Will Hill rejoins the show here. And Will, while you were gone, big Randy gave out 3 best bets. By the way, sweeping the board today with the 3 dogs on the NFL. He played the Commanders, played the Vikings, and played the Chiefs. And Broncos and Chiefs are tied at 13. Broncos got the ball back with 7.5 minutes to go. I was shielded there. I couldn't see where the Chiefs were on the field. They actually had a long field goal attempt, and Harrison Butker hit it. So tied the game at 13, and we'll see if Bo Nix has an answer here. But, Will, once again, this is a situation where the Broncos, even if they pull out this win, it's going to be unimpressive. They're really going to have to fight hard to get it. And I don't think public perception is going to change here on the Broncos. That I think a lot of bettors are going to be gun-shy to back this team when you get to the postseason. What do you think?
Yeah, you just start to think about the matchups in the playoffs. If Buffalo went to Denver, who would you pick? I'd probably pick Buffalo. I think you probably would too. If the Chargers went to Denver, who would you pick? I worry about their offensive line, but I'd probably pick the Chargers, and I'm sure a lot of people would too. So Doesn't mean just because we pick against them that they're going to lose, but it's hard to feel too much confidence watching this Broncos team as we felt all year.
Randy McKay, we see this with the Broncos. They're playing these tight games week after week, and they find ways to win them. They won 11 in a row. They're 12-3 going into tonight, but now they're life and death to beat the Chiefs as two-touchdown road favorites. You kind of sensed this was going to be a closer game tonight, but what's your assessment of the Broncos?
I think they could make a playoff run, but if they're a decent-sized favorite, I'm always going to take the dog against them. It's just it's just been them as a favorite has not worked out very well for the bettors, and I don't see them, you know, covering spreads in the, especially the way they're playing on off. They just don't have enough offensive weapons, and Nix is too inconsistent to blow. Their defense is great, but except for a couple games this year, but their defense is really good. But I'm not going to lay any points with this team. That's for sure.
Will, the three best bets Randy gave out for the weekend, Browns, I know you like that one, Packers, and Colts. How do you feel about those three sides for Randy?
I don't disagree on any of them. I think the Colts will keep it close. We were just talking about it doesn't seem like the Ravens season, and the Browns I think could be a live dog regardless of whether Pittsburgh needs the game or not. I think the Browns will give Pittsburgh a good game, so I like being on the same side of Randy as well.
Colts, 6.5-point home dogs of the Jaguars, and Jacksonville is off a big win at Denver on the road for the second week in a row, and the Colts' number could hit 7. Let's talk college football here for a minute as we watch Bo Nix try to move the Broncos down the field, and that pass incomplete. It's going to be 3rd and 10. Last night I was at the Hawaii Bowl, and Hawaii falls behind 21-0 to Cal, storms all the way back, wild fourth quarter, goes over the total. Hawaii wins the game 35-31, and it saves Christmas Eve for Will Hill and everyone else who needed to be entertained on Christmas Eve. Randy, you were here, I believe, at the Circuit Book. Was there a big crowd? That was the only game in America yesterday.
Yeah, me and the rest of the degenerates were here on Christmas Eve watching that game and well, wishing we were in the stands with you at that at that location, of course, but there's some of these bowls you don't want to be at that location, but that's definitely one I wouldn't mind attending. But, yeah, it was kind of interesting to be here on Christmas Eve, and I've never really ever gambled in a casino on Christmas Day, and that's my first time today. I've, of course, bet sports, but I've done that in church, but but I've never been in a casino on Christmas Day.
So you said there was a pretty good crowd here last night for the game, though.
Yeah, I was impressed. I was upstairs even. Downstairs was pretty full, and the upstairs, you know, was had a few seats. You know, it was pretty open, but there was people up there enjoying it.
Well, luckily they put on a show, and Hawaii, after a slow start, an extremely slow start, came back to win the game 35-31 after falling behind 21-0, and it was a highly entertaining game. Great crowd. Sold-out crowd there last night. And an outstanding atmosphere. And to top it all off, we had a brawl between the two teams right after the game ended on the field. So it was a great night to be in Honolulu. I'm back here tonight to do the show with you guys. And we're watching the Broncos struggle to get by the Chiefs here halfway through the fourth quarter, actually inside the five-minute mark. Broncos did pick up the third down there on 3rd and 10. Randy, I was on the over. Last night was my biggest play. I actually played over 54. The number kept dropping in the market. Dropped to 52.5. I bet it again. Dropped to 50. Bet it again. I disagreed with the move. I didn't know why the move was happening. When you see steam moves in the bowl season, are there some that you just don't respect at all? And how do you assess the steam moves in the betting market in the bowl season? Because they have not been very good. They've been wrong, actually, the past few days.
And especially on the totals, that's a tough read. The sides, they're more steam reading because of who's playing and who isn't playing. Like, I was actually going to bring this up to both of you, and you guys can maybe answer it. Are the Army and the Navy games both too high of spreads now? You know, they're not – Army and both teams aren't sitting any guys, and the other teams, of course, have their issues. Have both them lines gone too far? You know, I've watched that over the last couple of years. For them two teams, maybe not so much, maybe in some other cases they have gone too far and the reads haven't been right.
Well, you've definitely seen some overreactions in the betting market to the players sitting out. Will, what do you think of the Army-Navy games?
Yeah, the Army game in particular is interesting because UConn was at this bowl last year, the Fenway Bowl. They won it. That was the game they were fired up for against UNC. Are they going to be excited to be there the second year in a row? The star quarterback is sitting out, and they are dreadful against the run. So I don't want to be late to the number and lay it, but these service academies are so good in the bowls, and UConn is so bad against the run. I just worry Army scores basically every time. That's one game I have been looking at.
Will says he thinks Army may run it up here and score every time. UConn's sitting so many players. That's a tough dog to back there, talking about the Huskies.
Yeah, their coach is gone, and just about all their players left with them, I think. And, that's a tough go. And, of course, same kind of thing with Cincinnati, too. I noticed their quarterback is out and probably a lot of them other guys as well. So they're losing a lot of players where this, you know, Navy team came. You know, both these teams played each other, which was an exciting game. It's too bad the Army couldn't pull it off. But, you know, they've played recently, too, which gives them advantage.
All right, Randy, you're very strong when it comes to handicapping, betting the FCS games. Man, I've watched Montana got run out by Montana State last week. But when I've watched those two teams play, I've been impressed by the quarterback play. What's your handicap of Illinois State, Montana State, which is coming up when?
Yeah, going back, reflecting back to that game, and I lost. I was 5-1 in the FCS playoff so far.
You were on the Grizzlies?
And lose, yeah, to get Grizzlies plus 7, had Montana State not hit that 3rd-and-15 bomb to kid for about an 85-yard touchdown. That game would have been a lot. I think Montana definitely covers, if not has a chance to win at the end. So, it was an exciting game and always a great atmosphere. You know, price of tickets were really high. But as far as this game goes,
Monday, January 5th, Montana State, a 10.5-point favorite right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Of course, now it's gotten up to where I like Illinois State, and I've liked Illinois State ever since they beat the North Dakota State team when they're 23.5-point underdogs. I've been on that train the whole way, so I'm not going to go against this. You know, this is Missouri Valley again versus the Big Sky. Missouri Valley's been the best conference the last, you know, ever since the Bison came into the conference, they've been the best conference in the FCS. So I'm not going to go against a Missouri Valley team, even though this Montana team, you know, it does have very impressive offensive line. The quarterbacks played really well. They lost Tommy Malloy. I didn't think they'd be as good this year, but it took them a little bit because they struggled against Oregon in that opener and got blown out, and they lost another game. So I was surprised that how well they've done, you know, with this new quarterback. And, but I see this being a close game. Illinois State is used to that kind of physicality. And this coach is very good. He's been there a long time, Brock Spack. And this quarterback, Rittenhouse, is playing really well with a couple young wide receivers that are making big plays.
That is Monday, January 5th in Nashville. Illinois State, Montana State for the FCS championship. Montana State, Bobcats, 10.5-point favorites. You're going to take the dog, the double-digit dog in that, just like you're playing all the dogs today. By the way, the Chiefs have a total of 16 yards offense here in the second half, and the game is tied at 13. Broncos trying to drive here, but they're facing a second and 13. Big Randy McKay, professional gambler, in studio tonight. Randy, thanks for jumping in, joining the show. Appreciate it. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, and best luck on your bets this weekend.
Yeah, happy holidays out there, and hopefully everybody's enjoyed my twisted Christmas videos I put on my Twitter.
RR39, right?
That's where you can
follow Randy McKay on Twitter. All right, Will Hill and I will take a final break here on the show tonight, and we'll be back to wrap up the show as the Broncos face a 3rd-and-5 tied at 13 with just under 3 minutes to go in Kansas City.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Profit X, the number one sports prediction market. has some of the best futures pricing you'll find on college football national championship and Super Bowl odds with a huge holiday slate shaping playoff seating. Now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProfitX's 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSIN to get started with ProfitX. All right, Will Hill, we're wrapping up the show tonight before Scott Seidenberg takes over next. The Broncos were facing 4th and 2. You and I were talking about this during the break, and I thought there's no way they're going to snap the ball here because the Chiefs have 16 yards of offense in the second half. What happened, Will? Fill us in.
They didn't need to snap the ball. They just tried to draw the Chiefs off sides, and they were successful. Chris Jones jumps off sides, so it goes from 4th and 2 to 1st and goal. The 1st and goal carry gets the Broncos down around, I'd say, the 1 or the 2 yard line. So the Broncos now in good shape to either punch this in or kick a short field goal. My guess is they'll be able to punch it in here and put the Chiefs in a position where they need to score. And it's a long, we're a long way from there. But if you're holding the Chiefs plus 13.5, you have to be a little bit nervous that the Broncos score a touchdown, and then you put this inexperienced quarterback with the ball in his hands, and who knows what happens. You get a pick six, and we've seen worse beats. We've seen crazier things. So if you've got the minus 13.5, plus 13.5, it is not over yet, but the Broncos here on the doorstep of taking lead one way or another.
Well, you're right about that. You're always thinking about the worst-case scenario. How could you lose this bet? And if the Broncos go up 7 here, 20-13, it could be a strip sack, fumble return, pick six, whatever it could be. It's not over yet. By the way, up next, Scott Seidenberg is going to be hosting Cashing Out. And Seidenberg fired up about the Hawaii Bowl last night. And I was at the Hawaii Bowl, and it's kind of a slow start last night, Will. But the fourth quarter was wild and a fantastic finish, phenomenal finish to that game. Hawaii winning 35-31 last night. Did that save Christmas Eve for you? Because judging by the social media reaction last night, there are a lot of sports bettors who needed to be entertained on Christmas Eve. With no other games in America, that lived up to the hype, at least the way the fourth quarter played out.
Yeah, and I'm sure that got the handle basically of the Super Bowl because there was nothing else on. People are home. They're having a couple drinks. They want something to watch, something to bet. And why not bet Hawaii? And it was a fun game, down 21-0. They're able to rally. The backup quarterback comes in and throws a touchdown pass. I was worried they'd be a little conservative with him, but he just kind of threw it up. The receiver made a nice play. And what, 35-31 final? Just a really exciting game, a fun game, and a good win for Hawaii. That's a bad loss for Cal to be up 3 touchdowns and let that lead get away. But that was a really enjoyable game. Where were your seats, and did you enjoy being there?
I was up there about midfield, 40 or 50-yard line. Okay. That was a great atmosphere last night. Of course, when Hawaii fell behind 21-0, the home fans were not so excited, but they slowly got back into the game, and you can feel once they got back to 21-13, they were live to win it last night. So I know Brian Edwards, who's a frequent guest on this show, texted me during the game and said he was going to play Hawaii live at a pretty good number. I think it was about 5-1 at some point, somewhere between 3-1 and 5-1. Edwards played Hawaii live, and he ended up cashing that ticket. But you had to sweat that one out last night. That's why we have the Hawaii helmet here on the desk last night or tonight to honor the team that saved Christmas Eve. And it was not just a Hawaii bet. It was over the total. Actually, that was a bigger bet for me, Will, was over the total last night. And I thought it was going to be – I said on the pregame show with Paul Howard on Follow the Money, I said, I think the side is a coin flip, essentially. But I love the game over the total, and it kind of played out that way, even though the game scoring really didn't pick up and get crazy till the fourth quarter. Hey, wake up tomorrow morning. It's business as usual here at VSIN with VSIN by the books with Super Dave Ross, who joined us on the show tonight. And then a numbers game tomorrow morning, VSIN by the books at 7 a.m. Eastern. Broncos facing a 2nd and goal, handoff up the middle, and I think they come up short here on 2nd down. Obviously, they didn't really want to score on 1st down, Will. They want to run the clock, force the Chiefs to burn their timeouts. Chiefs just did burn their 2nd timeout. So you got 1:49 to go, and Broncos want to score here on 3rd down, go up 7, and force Chris Oladokun, the 3rd-string quarterback for the Chiefs, to drive the length of the field and get a touchdown to tie the game. I'm not even sure they would. I shouldn't say tie the game. Well, I think if they got in that scenario, Andy Reid would have to go for 2, right?
Yep, I would think so. Yeah. And if you don't get it, if you don't get it on third and goal here for the Broncos, right. I know these teams all go for it, and you're so close. But if it's fourth and goal from the one, do you kick the field goal or do you go for it?
Well, that's a great question, and that's why Sean Payton is paid about $17 million a year to make those decisions. Because the Chiefs have, like I said, 16 total yards of offense in this half. And you'd say, well, now we just got to rely on our defense to win the game for us. Let's see how this play develops, and then I'll answer that question because that's a very good question. Broncos going to get a rollout here from Bo Nix. Going to roll to his right. Got a defender. Fires it in there, and that's complete for a touchdown. It looked like that play might have been broken, and he was not going to have an open receiver, but he found one at the last second. It's R.J. Harvey. For the touchdown. I don't know, Will, it'd be awfully tempting if you're sitting at the half-yard line to go for it in that situation. But the Broncos have not had much success when they've tried to run the ball up the middle tonight, so that would have been a tough decision for Sean Payton. You want to say go for it because you don't want the Chiefs to come back with a field goal and tie the game and force overtime. But Sean Payton now does not have to make that decision. And did he have both feet in? R.J. Harvey did not slide out of bounds, and that is a good touchdown. Here's the extra point kick, and it is going to be 20-13 with 1:45 on the clock. All right, let's say that pass from Nix was incomplete. You got the ball sitting there at about the one or the half-yard line. What would you do? Do you kick the field goal, or do you go for it?
I mean, 99 times out of 100, I go for it. Right. The fact that the Chiefs have been so limited on the other end, I'd probably just kick it. I'd be fascinated to see what he would have done. I wonder if somebody will ask Peyton after the game, and who knows if Peyton, you know, give an honest answer or even answer the question. I probably would kick it. I wouldn't feel great about it. Like you said, I'd be tempted to go for it. But just given how hampered the Chiefs' offense is, I'd probably feel pretty good with a three-point lead.
Yeah, I don't think Sean Payton would give you an honest answer on that necessarily. Right, it's tough to answer that in the postgame when you don't truly have the pressure on you to make that decision in the heat of the moment. I mean, it's easy to stand there in the postgame and say, "Yep, I would have gone for it." I don't know if he would have. I think he would have probably kicked a field goal. All right, bowl plays coming up. We got the Hawaii Bowl now in the rearview mirror, and we're going to look ahead to some other bowl games and the college football playoffs. I think Indiana's going to beat Georgia. Indiana's going to beat Alabama. I'm not crazy about laying the number there. I do like Georgia to take out Ole Miss. Don't know if I'm going to lay the number there, but I like Indiana and Georgia. I have not bet those games. Will, what's on your radar coming up in the minor bowl games and also the playoff games? Anything you bet or you're thinking about betting?
I like Central Michigan getting the points against Northwestern. I think that's early on Friday morning where you are. Northwestern just doesn't profile as a big dog. 6 of their 12 games, they've scored less than 20 points. And Central Michigan can run. Anytime you have a running dog, and Central Michigan averaged 166 rushing yards per game, when you have a running dog on one end and you have a favorite that can't really score on the other end, to me, that's a recipe for a close game. Plus, you know what? You got one team from the Big Ten, the other team from the MAC. I think the team from the MAC, probably a little more motivated, will take the game a little more seriously. So I will take Central Michigan plus the 10.5. And I like Georgia Tech plus the 4.5 against BYU. Brent Key, the Georgia Tech coach, has profiled well as a dog. I think 17-6 for his career as a dog. BYU, where's their head at? They're one win away from playing in the college football playoff, and now they have to settle for a little bit of a lesser bowl here. So Georgia Tech plus the 4. And Central Michigan plus the 10.5 are plays that I like.
All right. How about the college football playoff games? I know you do the podcast, or you talk to the Bear a lot. Do you know what the Bear's thinking on Miami or Ohio State?
I know he's been high on them, and he thinks they're live. I couldn't disagree, because you know what? You look at the two teams Ohio State has played, the two really good teams, Indiana and Texas. They scored, 10 and 14 points? So Miami has real talent up front. I think they can bother Julian Sane and fluster him and put him under some pressure. The play calling for Ohio State was awful in the Big Ten title game. So if nothing else, I think they've got the defense to keep that game close. So a lot of people seem to like Miami, but you know what? A lot of people seem to like Miami against A&M, and that worked out okay. So I think the Hurricanes give Ohio State all they can handle here on New Year's Eve.
Now, I like the Canes in that game too. Canes in the points. So right now that number's sitting at 9.5. By the way, the Friday Football Invitational continues on tomorrow night with Chris Massaro, Scott Pritchard, and the Bear, Chris Felica, in the top three. And it looks like a couple of the guys on the Chiefs plus six might take a tough beat tonight. Broncos up 20-13 on the Chiefs. But Kansas City not done yet. Second and six at the 40-yard line. And Scott Seidenberg will take it from here. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas from Will Hill and myself. Stay tuned to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.